And you've got to endure a little bit of suffering. You've got to go through some challenges. You're going to have to give this thing to me and understand that there's only one plan. I thought, well, Selah, think about that, church. If there's only one plan, wherever you're at today, that's the plan. Wherever you're going tomorrow, that's the plan. Now, you may have a plan, and that's okay, because even the scriptures and Proverbs and that day says, you know, a man's mind plans his way. Doesn't he, right? But the Lord directs his steps. We're going to Florida. No, you're going to Atlanta. Sitting in that lobby. Okay. We met a lot of fine people. We met some Cousin Eddies. But we also met some guys. One lady even gave me four spiritual law tracts. You can see how my witness was that day. Here, brother. She gave me this. I said, oh, thank you. I said, but I know the Lord. You know, I was waiting for her to say, really? No. I was wondering about my witness, though. When somebody's handing you a four spiritual law tract, you got to, you know, kind of check. Like Eduardo, when he was in the gang, he said, we always used to say to each other, check yourself before you wreck yourself. So we need to be checking ourselves. But anyway, when the Lord spoke that to me, and Marge and I discussed that there's only one plan, we said, okay, honey, let's take all these lemons and make lemonade out of it. Because that's what God does with all the circumstances of our life, all the bad, quote, what we call bad and evil. Joseph said, I know that they meant it all for evil. But he meant it for my good. So even the evil that you're calling evil, still that double vision, instead of a single eye unto the Lord, single eye, the Bible talks about having a single eye, then your body will be full of light. And you'll see that resurrection life and that resurrection life flowing out of your innermost being. If you just keep turning to the Lord in those dark times. Because when a man turns or when a woman turns to the Lord, they become one spirit with God. So in those times of darkness or whatever that we call darkness, all darkness is the absence of light. Hear that now. All darkness is the absence of light. If you feel like you're in a dark place right now, or you may have been in a dark place all your life, I don't know. The Lord says, I can get rid of that darkness. I can dispel all that darkness in your life. All you have to do is turn to the light. Turn to the light. Some of you will say, well, I ain't going to turn to the light. I didn't turn to the light for 33 years. And then when I was losing Marge and my kids and my businesses and all that, I turned to the light. And guess what? I found out what restoration and redemption was all about. Because there sits my wife after 52 years. And we were going to get a divorce. My kids, all serving the Lord, they're all in Christ. Okay. Got my business back. Everything that the cankerworm tried to steal, God restored it. All back. He's in the restoration business. That's what Calvary was all about. Restoration, redemption, reconciliation. It was God. If you're sitting here today and you say, well, you don't know what I've done, Brother Jim. I've really done some, you know. The Bible says it was God in Christ, not imputing their sins unto them. Do you know? Now, this is going to be a hard pill for some folks to swallow. But this will blow your religion right out of the water. God doesn't see your sins. He does not see your sins. He said, I will cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, and I will what? I will remember them no more. And when Jesus said, it is finished, God's mind just turned into a blank blackboard. Everything was washed away. All of humanity's sins was washed away. I remember them no more. I'll tell you one of the reasons why I don't remember them no more is because he's given us the mind of Christ. And if Jesus is always remembering our sins, guess what? When you take on the mind of Christ, you'll be remembering your sins. But the Lord says, I don't remember your sins. I really don't. You know, I'll tell you, a preacher made a, I'm hesitant to even say this, but it really made sense to me after I pondered it. He said, people will never get set free from sin until they know that they're free to sin. That's one of those things you got to think about. You got to think about it. You'll never be free from sin until you know you're free to sin, because God is not holding any of those sins against you. He wants you to see that you're totally forgiven. And when this starts dawning on you, when that new day, when that resurrection spirit of Jesus Christ starts dawning on you and you see that you are free, guess what? You're free from the law. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you, Paul says. It will as long as you think it does. As long as you let Satan let you walk in condemnation. Every time you say the wrong thing or think the wrong thought, or like I heard Lynn Howell say on one of his recent tapes, he says something about, we've all sinned. Some of us even planned it. And some of us even enjoyed it. But he was just talking about a license to sin. He says, I'm not giving you a license to sin. He says, you're going to sin without a license anyway, so I'm not going to give you a license. But we are forgiven. He is a loving Savior. And when we learn that, and many of us have, but when we learn that, on March 20, 1976, when I learned that I was totally forgiven, when God spoke to me and he says, you've been forgiven, son, now go walk in love. When I knew that I was totally forgiven, from that day on, I could never hold or harbor anything against anybody again. Because if I'm totally forgiven, and when you get the revelation that you're totally forgiven, how can you not forgive your brother? And I got news for you. The whole world is your brother. Because when he died on Calvary, he died for the sins of all humanity. And when we start looking at the whole world as if they're brothers and sisters, they're going to respond a lot better to the, quote, church today, instead of a lot of this religion that the church is walking in. And this is what God's doing in this hour. By that dunamis resurrection power inside of us, he's going to start blowing all these religious ideas that we have right out the door. And he's going to make us one. At the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, when they all tried to reach God through their own efforts, through their own wisdom, he confounded their language. Nobody could understand each other. The Catholics can't understand the Baptists. The Baptists can't understand the Pentecostals. The Apostolics can't understand the Pentecostals. He confounds their language because everyone has their religion and they're building a tower to God. God's fixing to tear down the towers. And right now he's calling a people all around the world. He's gathering a people unto himself. The gathering's not going to be under man anymore. It isn't going to be under the Pope. It isn't going to be under the pastor. It isn't going to be under the deacon. It isn't going to be under any of that. It's going to be unto Christ in you. All right, I'll read a couple of stories. If our message is obscure, or if you can't see it properly, it's not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people, they're looking and going the wrong way. The pastor last Sunday talked about going the wrong way, two ways. Remember, Brother Oscar? So Paul's talking to the Corinthians, and he says, if this message is obscured from you guys, if you're not sensing this resurrection power that I'm talking to you about, it's because you're going the wrong way. And you refuse to give it serious attention. Wow, that's the message. Paul says, if you don't understand this, it's because you're not giving it serious attention. You're going your way. But that's okay. God can deal with that. But that's a hard way, folks. I've been there. I know a lot of you guys have too, and gals have been there. All they have eyes for, the ones that don't see the resurrection, he says, all they have eyes for is the fashionable god of darkness. They think he can give them what they want and that they won't have to bother believing into a truth that they can't see. They're blind to the day spring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God we will ever get, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we'll stop there because it's a day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I know we got a whole bunch that's coming over to our house too. So I just pray that God will bless this message to your heart and that you'll lay hold of it by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit inside of you. Look to Christ in you. That's our hope of glory. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word on resurrection. Father, it's true that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross 2,000 years ago, but right now, in order to glorify him, to give him the glory that he deserves, Father, we've got to understand, we've got to start seeing the brightness of the Christ inside of us. And Father, you said that it's going to come by your word. It's the brightness of the word that's going to destroy all that Antichrist stuff inside of us, because there still is that Antichrist stuff that's working in us, Lord. And you said that the Antichrist inside of our temple, inside of our soul, is going to be destroyed by the brightness of his rising, by the brightness of his resurrection that's going on inside of us. This is going to be an experience that the body of Christ is going to start having in a very powerful way. You're going to start standing up in your temple, Lord. You're going to start resurrecting your temple. And when you do, it is going to shake this world. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's time, Father, for the great shaking to begin. And Father, judgment always begins at the house of God first. So, Father, we understand 2 points that you made this morning. There's only one way. Father, whatever way it is that you're taking us, thy will be done, Lord, that the Christ may come forth in us. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Go have a blessed Easter. Brother Oscar, would you want to?